Here at Stodge Face, we take our baking seriously. And we're not talking about the penny de banana bread type baking. We're talking American style, original recipe, hard to come by, donut frying, cupcake styling baking. And we have done our research. Try it for yourself. We insist. Open weekdays from 10 a.m. and weekends from 12 p.m. We only close when the shelves have been emptied. We are currently located in Irish Town Athlone and our new Tullamore based venture is coming soon. So watch this space. We are people friendly, dog friendly and COVID friendly. We are Stodge Face.
Broadcasting live from the little town of Clara, County Offaly, it's What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Get in touch today through all our social channels and have your say. Oh, and thanks for listening. Now it's over to you, Lloyd. What's the story?
Hi, everyone. Hope you're all well. This is Lloyd here from What's the Story podcast. This is the last podcast of 2020. I would just like to say thanks a million to everybody, the contributors, the sponsors, for keeping it all going since last March. We've had lots of fun and we hope you brought a bit of enjoyment around Clara. And of course, indeed, we know now from the stats around the world, which is great that people are listening in. This week, we're going back around the world to see what Christmas is like for some of our Clara people around the world. Let's see if you can guess from this team tune where we're off to first. I hope you enjoy it.
Belong together, you and I forever and ever. No matter where you are, you're my guiding star.
And from the very first moment I saw you.
Tracy Rickard, what's the story?
Hello, how are you?
Tracy, thanks very much for joining me from afar on this special Christmas expat podcast. Tell everybody whereabouts in the world you are.
I'm in Melbourne in Australia.
Wow. There's a bit of a time difference here, Tracy, isn't there?
Yeah, 11 hours.
So it's nearly 9 p.m. here. So obviously I'm no good at maths, as you know, because we went to school together. So what time is it there?
Nearly 8.
So I hope we didn't get you out of bed.
Oh, no, the kids are up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. So it's fine. They have to go to daycare.
Okay. So Tracy, why the move to Melbourne then?
Well, I actually moved to Perth, Western Australia about 14 years ago in January coming to go see my cousin for a year, just take a year out, go see a bit of sunshine because Ireland does not get that very often. And yeah, never went home.
Right. So 14 years you went out. So what attracted you to there that you stayed?
I think I picked the furthest place I could go to get sunshine. And Perth was lovely, but I've moved like from Perth to Sydney, Sydney to Melbourne, Melbourne to Perth and back to Melbourne again. So I've moved around a little bit.
Could you not have went to Spain, yeah. Tracy, or somewhere?
No, because everybody else goes to Spain. I want to be a bit different.
So just
you know me, I've always been different.
Well, yeah, like myself. So tell everybody, like, whereabouts in Clara did you move from then?
Yeah, I'm from Rewa View. My father and mother lived there, and my father still lives there. Michelle's, 41? She'll kill me for saying that on air. So they've been living there 42 years. I just moved. I moved to Athlone, then moved back home again, and I was like, I need to move again. So I was like, oh, I'll go see Elaine Gallagher, and she's from Oakview in Clara. So I go see her in Perth, and yeah, just never came home. She made it too inviting for me. The weather was too nice.
So you're now Tracy Rickard Kumar. So tell us about that.
Yes, I actually got married. Well, I was meant to get married on the 28th of March this year, but due to COVID, we had to bring it forward on the 23rd of March, and we got married in our back garden. So my daddy and Michelle were here for that, and Christy Rickard, they were over for that. Daddy was here for like a wet week and he had to go back to Ireland, and Michelle was here for a week and a half and she had to go back because flights were getting very limited to leave. So we didn't have the wedding reception we planned, but it was still very nice.
So that was Chinese
for dinner.
That was a big trip. Well, yeah, that's always nice. So that was a big trip for a week to head over to Melbourne then and have to come back then.
Yeah, Daddy was going to be here for, God, I think 4 or 5 weeks, I think. But because COVID hit and everybody was panicking, like going, do we go, do we stay? And then everybody's trying to get back into Australia. The flights were getting very full very quickly. So we made a decision to get the two of them out quickly. Michelle has 2 young kids as well and a husband. So they were missing her. So I was like, look, we need to get you out. So we got her and Daddy out. And I was like, okay. And then, like, I think the week after they left, we went into hard lockdown. So I've been in literally lockdown for most of 2020. We've just started coming out of it. Okay, married life has been great, being stuck in the house with your husband 24/7.
You got married in your garden. You had a Chinese. Yes. Your parent, your dad and your sister had to go home. So 2020 has been good, Tracy.
Yeah, and I turned 40 as well, so I'm having a great year.
Well, now I turned 40 myself, so I can't really say too much. People would know your late mam, Bernie Rickard. People know her from Tops of the Town and musicals and all, and so that down through the years, you know. So tell us a little bit about your mam.
Yes. Mammy was very, she was very funny, which I don't think a lot of people knew. Obviously, I knew her very well as the family. She had a heart of gold. She would do anything for anyone. She would never say bad about anybody. And she brought us up to be like that too. And very welcoming when anybody came into the family. Very missed. It's been 10 years now, so it never gets easier. But yeah, you just keep her memory alive and just talk about her. Like, because obviously the kids never got to meet her. And my husband Vish never got to meet her. But I do talk about her and there's pictures around. And like, I was in Tops with her too for, I think, a few years in the adult one, which was good. Not very musical, bit tone deaf. So I didn't continue with that, unlike my sister. She's more vocal than I am. But yeah, it's a great woman.
So she's well in your memory there, which is lovely to hear. Tell us about, you have twins like myself.
Yes, a boy and a girl and a boy. I always say the boy first and he's not older. It's a girl and a boy. The before, I'm on this Sunday.
Oh, very good. Happy birthday. What are their names, Tracy?
The daughter is Aaliyah and the son is Arian.
What's Christmas like there in Australia?
Well, right now it is 10 to 8, Lloyd, and it's 27 degrees. so we're actually going to Perth, Western Australia, because Bishop's family lives there. We're going there for Christmas. So they're averaging about 35, 40. It's very different. It's more outdoors. We still have a turkey, but it's more, you know, stuff on the barbecue, salads, more like it's relaxed. And it's, I mean, it's not cold or raining or snowing. It's very different. But yeah, no, Christmas is good. I think having the kids, it's made it a bit more memorable. Because, yeah, they're all like, they're more active now. It's like, oh, Santa's coming. And I'm like, yes, Santa's coming. And then obviously, birthday's just before Christmas. So, because they couldn't wait till their due date in middle of January. So, yeah.
What do you miss about Clara, Tracy?
I miss the Clara Christmases. I looked at the Christmas lights online when they turned them on. I was like, oh, I miss that. I miss the fact that everybody knows everybody. Because in Melbourne, like, I mean, I've been here 2 years now and I really don't have that many close friends. I have a few, but in Clara, like, you could always go down to the pub and by yourself and you still meet somebody you knew and you chat. You don't do that here. Obviously, in COVID times, we can't. But even before that, like, there's no community spirit, I think. And there's not a lot of, I haven't found a lot of Irish people around. It's very multicultural in Melbourne, which I do love, and the coffee, that's brilliant. But I do miss the fact that everybody knows everybody in the community feel, and just everybody being so nice and polite, and yeah.
Okay, what's your working life like, Tracy?
Well, I've been working from home for the most of the year, so I only work part-time. So I work for a telecommunications company, the second largest in Australia. So it's been good because we had to work from home. They were like, yeah, that's fine. And even now, like, we're still working from home and probably will be for most of, or at least for half of 2021 because we've on restrictions how many people can be in an area together. And then because we only now just were allowed to take our masks off when we're outside. But when we go indoors, the shopping centres or cafes, we have to have them on. So we're just coming out of it. And they've started the hotel quarantine again for international travellers. So I think everybody's just sitting watching that to make sure no cases get out into Melbourne again. Because, yeah, that was, we've been in lockdown for most of, since March, I think, but we had a few weeks off and then we were back into a hard lockdown, which was 8 o'clock curfew, couldn't leave the house until after 5 a.m. You couldn't even go outside for an hour exercise. It was really strict.
Okay, so they're very stringent, even by Ireland standards, which would have been, I suppose, level 5 strict enough, but that seems very, very tough.
That was level 4 strict for us. We never got to level 5. So I hate to see what level 5 was. But the kids, luckily, could still go to daycare because myself and my husband are essential permitted workers at the time. So we got to send them to school, which was good. So they never really, they weren't impacted too much. Like the number of kids at this daycare went down, like it was 80 and then it was like 4. And when my two met up to the 4, so I was just sort of like, so they were like loving the attention. So it was good. But yeah, it's nice to see the end of the coming to the end of the COVID restrictions. Like hopefully we'll stay like that now, because it's been a tough year, and I know Ireland's doing it really tough as well, as like a lot of other countries. Hopefully we'll get on to it in 2021. It'll be a better year.
Any future plans to ever come back to Ireland?
Oh, well, I was back in 2019.
Well, I mean to live.
Come back. Clara will always be my home, but I do love the sunshine. So I'll come back to visit, definitely. But I don't think there's any plans to live back there anytime soon. I think the kids might freeze or something if we were back. They were there 1 year when they were one for Christmas, and I think they were like, oh my God, the snow. They were like, what's that? So they were very confused. They didn't know what it was. I was like, no, this is not good. It's cold.
So Tracy, I'm going to put you on the spot here. This is a Christmas podcast, so we want to know your favourite Christmas song and your favourite Christmas movie.
Fairy Tales in New York. Favourite movie? Yeah. It has to be Die Hard. Come on, it has to be. Yes. It's not a Christmas movie, but it still has to be Die Hard.
Yes. Yeah, one of my favourites as well. Lastly, Tracy, would you like to say hello to anybody or wish them a happy Christmas back here?
Yeah, I just want to wish my dad, Michelle, James, my niece and nephew, Aaron and Emily, Merry Christmas. Finn and Breda Dunn, Carol and Tony Fagan, and my extended family and the whole of Clara. I hope you have a fantastic Christmas and hopefully you'll get out of lockdown soon.
Brilliant. Tracy Rickard Kumar, thank you very much for joining me from Melbourne on the podcast.
Thanks, Lloyd.
Happy Christmas to you.
You too.
Anybody fancy heading over to Melbourne for a nice hot Christmas? What do you think? Right, next up on the podcast, we head over to Oregon. Joey Mannion, what's the story?
How you doing, Lloyd? How you keeping?
I'm very well now. I'm ringing you from a kind of a damp and cold Raheen here in Clara at the moment.
It's about the same here.
Whereabouts are you, Joey?
I am over here in the west coast here of America in Oregon. We're about an hour from the coast, about an hour from skiing. If you want to go skiing and stuff, we have a beautiful hikes. It's very like Ireland in a way, except for the weather's better. It rains a little bit here in the winter, all right, but all in all, you know you're going to get the sunshine, the heat. You know, you can go do stuff.
Joey, for people who might not know yet, tell people where you moved from in Clara and maybe your family that's still here.
Yeah, I moved from the Green there, Geraldine Aline Mannion there, the Green, right next to Sean Taylor and the Horns across the street in Rafe's Patrick. You know, I moved over here about 14 years now, married about 13 years, and never looked back since, you know.
So you moved there 14 and you're married 13. Joey, that was quick going though, to be fair.
Believe it or not, I was over here in Oregon about 25 years ago, I think it was. I come over here through college for an internship. So I've been over here in Oregon before. And it just so happened that I met another girl from Oregon in Athlone, believe it or not. And so then we decided to come back here and, you know, and make a life for ourselves.
That's quite unusual. You went to Oregon, but then you met your wife from Oregon in Athlone.
I know. What's the chances,
that's
right?
A podcast in itself, Joey.
Oh, I know. It's a story, you know.
What's your working life like now, Joey?
So I have a degree in horticulture. You know, I used to work in Ravensburg for years, you know, with Noel Daniels there and PJ Power and stuff. And I actually, when I come over here, I had a job when I come back the second time with the same nursery as before. I used to run the nursery and the berry farm. We had a berry farm with 50 acres. And then with the economy and stuff, you know, the whole lot did a dive. Since then, I did a completely 180. And I work for the government, for the state of Oregon here at the moment. I'm the public service representative for the state. So I sell property that's belonging to the state, and I sell it to like cities and counties and schools and whatnot, you know. And also I sell a lot of the federal army surplus stuff, you know. And the whole idea is that like small counties and cities can benefit from property where not paying bunches of money, you know, and they're saving a lot of money. So it's really just to save money for the state, which works really good.
So that's very interesting. So do you do any horticulture on the sideline then, Joey?
I would love to get back to it someday, but, you know, right now we're all looking to have a job, you know.
Joey, were you back in Ireland many times since you left?
Oh, I was. I think I have my daughter now, Rowan, she's 10 years or 11 years old. She's been back, I think, 3 or 4 times. So like probably every second year we head back there. you know. Like, we're going to head over here in August.
And of course, you know, your sister is over there as well, Katrina.
Oh, she is. She's over there side of the country. You know, people ask me, do I see her much? You know, but sure, like, it's the same distance from New York to Ireland as it is from here to New York.
Wow.
You know, so it's a long old track.
I suppose it's difficult for your parents, Liam and Geraldine, to have kids over there. And there's a lot of people in Clara in a very similar situation.
Yeah, it is, especially when you bring grandchildren into it and stuff. But sure, the best thing you can do now is the whole, like, you know, Skype and FaceTime and stuff. That really helps. But yeah, it's nothing like going home there and just hanging around there for a couple of weeks. We feel bad for them, you know, and that's hard, especially around Christmas time. It can be very difficult.
What other things do you miss from Clara?
Well, you know, I miss the chipper, you know.
Everyone misses the chipper.
I know, right? I know. When I was growing up there, you had the Horns across the street, you had Rafferty's Patrick, the Newman's down the road, you had the Flemings up the street. Your parents could leave the house and you're always taken care of on the street. And you don't have that anymore over here. You know, my daughter goes outside to play there and so you have to know who she's with the whole time. You know, and you miss that family atmosphere. You hardly know your neighbours over here,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I know, it is very strange to come from the Green, where I suppose I grew up with you as well, down in the Green, playing football and Block 40, yeah. A lot of people might remember.
Oh, and Curb.
Curb. Joey, this is a Christmas podcast. We're going to ask you your favourite Christmas song and your favourite Christmas movie.
Oh, you know, I think my favourite Christmas song has to be The Fairy Tale of New York. Going back a bit there, I think when I think of that song, I always think of Lorenzo Bracken, you know, because... I'd never been stuck on a bus with him one time. I don't know what we were doing. I think it was Irish Dancing or something. But he kept playing that song on repeat, you know, and I got into my head. So that's probably one of my favorite songs. And Christmas movie, oh man, you know, I have a debate with my wife the whole time whether Die Hard, you know, is a Christmas movie or not. So I'd say, you know,
I think it is.
I think it is too. It's also good to watch in August, you know.
Joey, would you like to finally say hello to anybody or send a Christmas message back home?
Oh, yeah. I want to say hello to all the parents there. And actually, my granny up there in Raheen, you know, she turned 95.
Wow, 95.
Year.
Happy birthday to your granny.
Oh, yeah. She's going strong.
What a great place to be from, Raheen, huh?
Oh, it's a great place. Great place, you know. So, yeah, it's all the family there and, you know, all the uncles and aunts and whatnot. And actually, I think my daughter Rowan wants to say hello.
So that'd be brilliant. Brilliant.
You know, she says half the time she's doing her work for online school at home, but then I talked to Katrina and apparently she's FaceTiming her the whole time. So I'm not sure what's really happened. So here she is now.
Hello.
Hello, Rowan. How are you?
Good.
Greetings from Ireland.
Thank you.
What do you do to pass the time in Oregon?
I do gymnastics in online school.
Right, very good.
Basically what I do.
Very good. Are you any good at this gymnastics?
Yes. I made it to state, but then COVID happened, so I couldn't go to state.
Would you be better at gymnastics than your dad?
Yes, definitely.
Are you looking forward to Christmas, Ron?
Very much. I'm hoping that I'm going to get for some Lego sets, and I'm hoping for some Barbies.
Oh, very good. That'd be nice to get, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Would you like to say hello to your grandparents back in Ireland?
Yes, I would.
Okay. The stage is yours.
I wanted to say Merry Christmas, Granny, Granddad, Prince, and to Nanny up in Raheen.
Rowan, thank you very much. It was nice to talk to you.
You too.
Take care of yourself and happy Christmas.
You too.
Did you notice that she has a little bit of a bog accent like me?
that was great. Joey, thanks very much for joining me on the podcast this evening, and I hope you have a brilliant Christmas.
Thank you, Lloyd. Yeah, and Lloyd, you know, I love hearing your show every Thursday, you know.
That's nice to hear.
It's great. It's great. Some amazing people in Clara.
That's it. We've a lot of content in Clara. I've been doing podcasts for a few years yet.
Oh, I tell you, yeah, you could probably replay them again, you know.
Joey, have a great Christmas yourself, your wife, and Rowan.
You too, like.
Ah, great stuff. Joey Mannion there from The Green, wishing all his family well. It's great to hear from Joey. Right, folks, it's time for a little piece of music now. I'm joined here by Adrian Rabbit. Adrian dropped me in his brilliant CD, and there's two tracks on it. First track is The Little Drummer Boy. Adrian has done this with his son, James. And if anybody hasn't seen it on Facebook, it's a lot of views, up in the 30,000s, I'd say, at this stage. And it's brilliant. You should really check that out on Adrian Rabbit's page. But we're going to play this song from Adrian's CD. And Adrian, you're going to introduce it for me.
Yeah, hi guys, and from all over the world, and Clara, and I would like to wish us all a a very happy and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. This song I done is it's a song from Nancy Griffith, a song I always loved when it came out first in the 80s, and I decided to do it. I'm dedicating this song to all the doctors and nurses and all the frontline staff all over the world who have put their lives on the line to fight this pandemic and to help all the people who have been affected by COVID. And I would like to wish everyone a happy Christmas again and a happy new year. Here's a song, it's one called From a Distance.
From a distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to fly. From a distance, there is harmony, and it echoes through the land. It's the voice of hope. It's the voice of peace. It's the voice of every man. From a distance, we all have enough, and no one is in need. There are no guns, no bombs, no diseases, no hungry mouths to feed. From a distance, we are instruments marching in the common band, playing songs of hope. From a distance, you look like my friend, even though we are at war. From a distance, I can comprehend what all this war is for. From a distance,
absolutely brilliant stuff there, Adrian Rabbit, well done. You can check out that song From a Distance also on Adrian's YouTube channel, and don't forget to subscribe, of course, and also on his Facebook page. It has lots of views, and it's a marvellous dedication to all the healthcare workers around the world. Thanks very much, Adrian, for that, and well done. Right, from healthcare professionals and heroes over to our army personnel in the Defence Forces. Stephen Kidney, what's the story?
Well, late, how's things?
Not too bad. Stephen, oh, there's loads of crack, but I can't tell you on here, unfortunately. Stephen, tell everybody, where are you based at the moment?
At the moment, late, I'm out in Syria here with Army 6 month tour of duty. We deployed there on the 7th of October, so it's 6 months, so we're due to come home hopefully on the 7th of April. It's actually longer. We had to do 2 weeks isolation actually before we come out, so it's a bit of a nightmare with the COVID restrictions, but sure, look, hopefully we're home the 7th of April anyway. It's the day before my birthday, so all things going well, it'll be a nice birthday when I get home anyway.
Brilliant. So you've had many other trips as well, Stephen, haven't you?
Yeah, this is my fourth now in total. So I've had 3 trips to Lebanon. First would have been 2011, and then 2 back-to-back, then 18 and 19. And this is actually my first trip, first winter trip, and the first trip to Syria. So
I was going to say that to you, your first winter trip. So does that mean missing the Christmas then?
Yeah, it's going to be the first time away for Christmas now. Like, I've never even been away on holidays with Mary Grant for Christmas, so it'll be tough. I like the old Christmas now at home, I have to say. But sure, look, we'll take it and see how it goes. You know, yourself, it's just a hard time for everyone this year, I suppose. It's not really going to be a great Christmas for anyone at all. But
that's it. What's the camp, you know, like just, there, Stephen? Is there many other soldiers from Offaly serving with you on this trip?
I think there's about 8 or 9 of us from Offaly, to be honest. There's 130 Irish anyway in total. And we kind of share the camp here with Nepalese and Indians. So there's about 200 Indians, I think, and about 100 Nepalese. But it's grand. No, the camp is huge. Like, there's lots to do. Like, there's 2 swimming pools here. I know Alan Cronin be slagging me there on the Facebook. All I do is sunbed, he says. But sure. Yeah, we 2 swimming pools, astroturf, volleyball, tennis, 2 gyms, anything you want. No, it's grand. Like, it keeps your day going. And sure, we be flat out working then as well.
So we all have our bits very well set up. Well, you would need them facilities being away from home. So, I mean, it's the least you could have, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it anyway, yeah.
So, Stephen, you're in the Army. Why the Army for you? Was that an influence from the big brother, Alan?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I went to college for a year. Wasn't great though, after school, but down to Athlone is all it was. With doing construction studies down there, but no, I just wasn't for me, and just so the Army seemed to be the right choice. Yeah, I suppose Alan was in my ear as well, I suppose. But
have you done any trips together, Stephen, yourself and Alan?
Yeah, we just we got one together there, like just in 2018, just before he retired. So yeah, he actually was out here for 6 months, and he heard I was coming out on the next trip, so he put in for the extension, and he got it. So yeah, it was nice to be able to say we served together, anyways, overseas.
Brilliant.
Which is always good.
Something to be proud of, Stephen. What's an average day like in Syria, apart from doing your recreational bits? But is it, I suppose, a lot of work and no play as well?
As I said, there's 130 of us, but you're kind of different groups. Like, there's infantry and recce. I'm out here now with the engineers, so like, we're part of an ESSC team, is what it's called. It's engineer specialist search and clearance team. So there's only 10 of us in total. Like, you'll have one officer, one sergeant, 2 corporals, and 6 privates. And basically, like, we just get jobs from the UN. Like, say, to out and clear UN posts. Like, in 2014, this place was more or less flattened. Like, it's, you're driving down through the place, it's just, there's buildings, all you can see is ruins and rubble. And but we went to post then, and just, we'll have all the gear, and we're just looking for basically UXOs and any unexploded ordnance. You know, you come across like grenades, and like, lucky enough, they're all detonated, but you come across some sort of stuff like mines, and the odd time there would be something there dangerous now that hasn't been exploded, and you just call in the ordnance spies and they send in the robot then and blow up, you know. But
so the Army,
no, that doesn't happen.
The Army is a life less ordinary, as they say. I suppose every day is not going to be dissimilar for you, is it?
I know, it's grand, but like, everyone in our 10 of us, like, we all have our specific trades as well. Like, I'm an electrician, and there's plumbers and carpenters there, and we just do the maintenance of the camp then every other day. It's grand, like, tip away at your bits. Be changing lights and sockets for lads and this and that.
Is there many Liverpool fans there, Stephen?
Ah, Jesus, there is a few actually. Yeah. We get over to the mess to watch the old matches, but unfortunately, it's a dry trip, so there's no beer.
Was there any Mayo fans shouting there last Sunday? Was there?
Oh, stop. Don't mention Mayo. My woman's from Mayo. She on the Saturday evening, but she'll come around a bit.
So, Stephen, what can you expect in Syria for Christmas Day? It's going to be a little bit different than what you might be used to at home.
Well, I haven't been here for Christmas Day yet, but I'm sure, look, it's grand. The food would be grand. The food has been brilliant, in fairness to the cooks all trip. Like, it's fabulous food. And I don't know, they're on about there. You're going to go down and get your turkey and ham, and they're going to have all the works you'd have at home, I suppose. And they're going to give you out an old glass of wine. That'll be the only drink, I'd say, we get the whole trip. But just stuff like that, you know, try and make it as friendly as home, you know, as the can, I suppose. Because I can't imagine, I don't know kids now, but I can't imagine Christmas morning is going to be nice for lads out here with kids. And, you know, it's a tough time, I suppose, but yeah, just have to get on with it.
Do you get to make are you allowed to call home, Stephen, on Christmas Day, or can you generally just call home when you like?
There is welfare phone, like a landline in most of the offices, like, but we just use WhatsApp. Like, I'm on to you here now. Like, sometimes the old signal wouldn't be great, but just the VPNs out here, we have to connect to a VPN to make calls, and just the old signal will go down half the time. It's not great, it's not ideal, but look, it is grand. Like, I video call ourselves every night, like, and
yeah,
9 times out of 10 is grand. You can see each other perfect, but the odd times it could be breaking up, sure.
So, Stephen, what tell us about the camaraderie between the soldiers out there? Are you all big one happy family?
Ah, yeah. Well, in general, there is, yeah. Like, say, the engineers, you'd see kind of little groups gathering, you know. Like, you would have your own little groups of lads. So the 10 of us are mostly together. You go down then, the AstroTurf, you'd be playing soccer again, different units and stuff like that, you know. And in the mess, like, there's old pool tournaments there and old table tennis tournaments. And you get to know everyone. Like, it's only, say, in Lebanon, you'd have 450 lads. Out here, there's only 130. So, you know, everyone fares well by the end of the trip. Like, it's, you know, everyone's sound so far anyway. So,
yeah. So Stephen, it's a Christmas podcast. We're going to ask you your favourite Christmas song and your favourite Christmas movie.
Oh, jeez, you have me there now. A movie. I'd say, well, Lord, Home Alone is up there anyway. It's, it has to be the first one. Or The Grinch. Yes, the song now. You have me there with the song. I'm not really a fan of any Christmas song now, to be at the minute. I think they're all overplayed, especially out here.
Well, that's true, yeah.
But Drink a Beer now is on my old Spotify, you know, at the minute, by Lyde Bracken.
Good man, keep it
Congratulations,
screaming.
Congratulations, very, very good.
Ah, thanks a million. Stephen, do you get like a welfare pack from home or that over Christmas?
We do, actually. I just received mine there about a week ago, not even a week, 4 or 5 days ago, maybe.
That nice.
I don't know when they were sent now. They're sent.
Anything nice in it?
Oh, that's a sweet. You name it, it was in the box. So it was grand. That was sent. Now, I don't know who, the mother and the father, and I'd say they all shipped in somewhere. It was hundreds of euros worth of stuff in it, so it was grand.
So, Stephen, last few things. What will you miss about Clara or Mayo this Christmas?
Yeah, I don't know, just in general, like, you know, yourself just around the town during the crack over the Christmas and stuff like that. Christmas Day, I suppose, with the family and the dinner and a few drinks. And for Christmas night then, we used to always go up to, the last five or six years, I've been going up to Cronin's home house there, to Fergus and Susie, and you bring Fergus up an old bottle of red wine there, and he'd be happy out. He'd be on his fourth or fifth one at that stage. He wouldn't care how cheap it was. So, and Susie doesn't drink, so an old tin of biscuits, she'd be happy enough. I know.
Brilliant.
That's a great night up there, I have to say, up Christmas night. I'm going to miss that now this year. Anyway, she'd have all sorts of characters from the town coming all night. There would be.
Brilliant. Anyone you'd like to say hello to or send a Christmas message home?
Yeah, just basically, I'd like to say Happy Christmas, I suppose, to everyone back home, especially the mother and father and Alan. I'm not going to name out all the aunties and uncles and cousins, but Happy Christmas to all them, I suppose, as well. And a special mention to Kathleen, my auntie Kathleen Quinlan, I suppose. I'd say she's home praying for me every day. She'd be fair as worried now. She'd be up with the mother and father for Christmas dinner and Stephen's Day dinner. And she'd be worried about it. And, obviously then my girlfriend Jenny, sure, I talk to her every day anyways, and just video call her, sure, just to let her know I love her and I'll see her very soon and I'll be home soon.
Good man, Stephen, have a happy Christmas and a safe Christmas in Syria, and thank
Same
you
too,
very
lady.
Much for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me on.
No bother, Stephen Kidney, thanks
Christmas.
A lot, take care of yourself.
Bye.
This time we're heading back stateside, everybody, to talk to somebody who's big in the movies. Lisa Stewart, what's the story?
Hi, Lloyd. How are you?
I'm very good, Lisa. Lisa, would you tell everybody where in the world you are and how long you've been there?
I'm in Los Angeles in California now, and I've been here for about 2.5 years.
Wow. So what's LA like?
It's great. I mean, it's lovely. The weather, I suppose, is always nice, although I will say I miss the seasons. But the lifestyle is very good. But you'd miss the Irishness.
Okay. You're no stranger to America. You've lived in New York as well for a while, isn't that right?
I have, yeah. So I was in New York for almost 4 years before I moved to LA then in 2018. And then, yeah, I've been here for 2.5 years.
And why the move stateside? Was it a career choice or just a lifestyle choice?
I've always wanted to move out here. You know, I love the idea of New York and even LA. And then, for career opportunities, and when the J-1 graduate visa was there, it kind of seemed like the right time to try it after college.
Okay, and for anyone who might not know you, Lisa, whereabouts in Clara did you move from?
So I grew up in Frederick Street with my parents, Paul and Breda, and my brother, Kyle.
Right, very good. And also, you have a very exciting job now, Lisa, and career in the movie business, I believe. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I work for Sony Pictures in publicity and promotions for their films. So we essentially work under the marketing branch and would work closely with our creative advertising team to, you know, they cut the trailers and create the posters to market it. And then we would handle the talent side of things. So any of the actors, directors, producers to promote through them, I suppose. So that would involve anything from, you know, we'd bring the film to the big film festivals like, you know, TIFF in Toronto or Cannes or Sundance, you know, to even just securing press. So we try to get our actors on Jimmy Fallon or the Graham Norton show or Good Morning America. Anything we can do to get the movie out there and, you know, make people aware of it.
Okay, so do you do much work in Ireland as well or Europe as well, trying to get films promoted over here?
Funnily enough, I worked mainly on the domestic team, so that was within the US, and we had a separate team that handled international. But we actually just during lockdown, I suppose, because times are changing and the company had a huge restructuring. So as of a few months ago, yes, we're now working internationally, and we had, I think, somebody from FM 104 on our latest press day that we did a few weeks ago and stuff. So it's nice to be able to promote in Ireland and the UK and that side of the world too, and not just America now, which is great.
Lisa, tell the people of Clara what kind of actors and actresses you're working with. Make us all jealous.
I think the biggest one last year, I think we did months of work with Tom Hanks for his movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. We had an awards campaign for him essentially to try to get him nominated for an Oscar, a Golden Globe, like all of those big awards. So we were back and forth between Toronto and LA and New York, and he did get nominated, thankfully. We've some fun ones coming up too. We've one in production at the moment with Denzel Washington and Michael B. Jordan, and we're doing the Whitney Houston.
So small names then.
They're not that well known, are they?
Right, your job is to get Tom Hanks on the What's the Story podcast. I'll give you a week.
I'm on it.
So, like, working with these big actors and actresses, what are they like? I suppose different personalities and that. What's Tom Hanks like?
Yeah, I mean, you come across a lot of different personalities. I definitely have a story or two. But, I mean, Tom Hanks is lovely. He really is. And he did a lot of work for us over a long time, a lot of months last year. And he's been nothing but friendly. He's the type of person that would, you know, walk into a room and make sure he says hello to everybody. Can't say the same for them all, but for Tom Hanks, he's a lovely person.
Would you have an interest in the acting side yourself, Lisa?
I would, yeah. I think I'm fairly busy at the moment with this, but I do enjoy the acting. I've done different courses and stuff over the years as well. It is. It's a lot of fun.
And for anyone who's thinking of getting into that industry, is it a tough industry to get established in?
It is, yeah, I suppose, because it's not easy at the start. It's kind of one of those things where you really have to do your time. And like when I first started, I was interning for free. And then I think my first full-time paid job was $300 a week, which anyone who lives in America would know you can't really live off. And, you know, so you really have to put in the time, I think, to to get to the point where you can live well.
Okay, so it's a real labour of love in some sense.
It is, yeah, and it's not the type of industry I think you'd work in unless you really did enjoy it.
Right, okay. So Lisa, this is a Christmas podcast. We'd like to know your favourite Christmas song and your favourite Christmas movie.
Oh, favourite Christmas movie? Probably Elf or Home Alone 2, I think.
Yeah, Home Alone 2 is good. I like that.
Popular ones. Christmas song. I think Last Christmas. Yeah, right. that's one of my favourites, yeah. Wow. Or Fairy Tale of New York. Yeah. Fairy Tale of New York's a good one too.
Have to get that in there, Lisa.
have to.
And not the Bon Jovi version. I'm not sure if you've heard that one yet.
No. I'll stick with the original.
Lisa, tell us about some things you miss about home, apart from your family. Some things you might miss from Clara that you think of now and again.
The chipper, for starting. That's all I was given the first port to call. But yeah, obviously my friends and family, I suppose as well, honestly, living in a small town sometimes, being able to just walk down the road to go for a drink and to meet your friends and living so close to your friends and family, definitely.
Would you ever plan on moving back to Ireland?
Yeah, no, I do. I can't see myself settling out here, not in LA anyway. And I do, I miss home a lot. I think mom and dad are sick of me. I think about twice a year they get a phone call saying I've had enough and I'm coming home. So someday I will, yes, definitely.
Yeah. I do ring my mother and tell her that, and I live 5 minutes away as well. So does your parents, will they send out the Christmas package now with the potatoes and the stuff like that?
I think so. I've dropped a few hints, so I think it's on its way.
But what is Christmas like in LA then compared to Christmas at home?
It's definitely not as big out here at all as it is at home, which is hard. Like right now I'm looking out the window and it's like blue skies, and usually you'd never complain, but I'm like, I just love for it to rain or something and just feel like Christmas. But yeah, it's very different, very different.
Has the COVID situation been tough there, Lisa?
It has. Well, I mean, honestly, for a long time, I felt like they didn't take it too seriously. Like it didn't seem like a whole lot changed, but I actually read yesterday that LA County is now the epicenter of COVID, so we're one of the worst at the moment, and the cases are just through the roof, so we're fairly heavily locked down now at the moment.
Lisa, finally, is there anyone you'd like to say hello to back here or give them a Christmas message?
My friends, my family and my grandparents. I'm going to miss home now this Christmas. I swore I'd never miss a Christmas at home, so yeah, if I could just say hello to everyone, really.
Lisa Stewart, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Lloyd. It's great.
And have a happy Christmas.
You too, Lloyd. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Ah, great stuff, Lisa Stewart. That was brilliant. Thank you very much for joining me from LA. Right, we're going stateside again and to talk to a very well-known Clara man. Let's hear from him. John Tierney, what's the story?
Lloyd, good morning. How's things?
Well, good afternoon here in Ireland, John. John, tell everybody where you are and how long you've been there.
Lloyd, I am in Virginia, about 45 minutes outside Washington, D.C., and I've been in this area, Lloyd, now for about 12 years. But, Lloyd, I've been in the States now 28 years at this point, so a long time.
John, why was the move to the States?
Lloyd, it came about fairly suddenly, to be honest with you. When I got out of school, Lloyd, I kind of was on the fence in terms of what to do, going to college, stay at home. I had aspirations of playing football at that time, and the FAI had just started a course in Dublin. So I did the FAI course in Dublin at the end of 91, 92. And just coming into 92 then, Lloyd, I got the offer of a soccer scholarship to come over to the US, to Virginia. So, you know, thankfully, my man Dad encouraged me to take it. And it was one of those things, Lloyd, if you don't try it, you don't know. So delighted I tried. My mother and father encouraged me to go, and if it didn't work out, to come home. But thankfully, it did work out, and it was some great time spent over here during those 4 years at college.
That must have been a huge deal at the time, John, to get a scholarship over to the USA.
It was, Lloyd. It was indeed. And it was something, as I say, that, you know, hadn't been on my radar growing up playing football and everything. And at the time, scholarships to the US were new to a lot of young Irish girls and young Irish guys. And, you know, for myself to get the opportunity to come over, I came over with two Dublin lads that year, actually. One of them is actually Jim Sheridan's nephew, the movie producer Jim Sheridan's nephew, Fiacra. So I came over with him and another Dublin lad, and it was a great experience, Lloyd. And to get the opportunity, like, you know, for a lot of people back home, they might not realize the college sports over here, it's really a professional level that you're playing at for that 4 years. And the facilities are top notch, Lloyd. And just to get the experience to do that for a few years was something that I look back on very, very fondly, for sure.
Do you think the Greenfield League kept you in good stead for your scholarship?
It did indeed. Getting kicking lumps out of each other definitely prepared me for it. But the Greenfield League is something I think we all look back on with happy memories.
John, I was talking to your sister recently there, and you just spoke about your parents briefly, about being supportive. But your parents travelled all over themselves, didn't they?
They did, Lloyd. And kind of that's myself and Kate were actually born in New York. My father was originally from Tipperary, moved over to Southampton in England when he was a young man with his family. And then he went on the ships when he was very young out of Southampton and finally ended up in America. So, yeah, my dad traveled the world in the army and the military over here. And then my mother came over, traveled a lot across America as well. So, yeah, Kate and I kind of have continued that on with bunkering down and making our life here in America, Lloyd.
So that explains the Southampton Football Club connection to me.
Lloyd, as soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm going to put the cat on and watch them against Man City at 10 o'clock. But yeah, it does indeed, Lloyd. My father's family settled in Southampton when he was young, and that's kind of when I first started learning about football, going over there. So I kind of naturally became a Saints fan and have been ever since. There's been a few barren years, so we're enjoying the minute being up at the top end of the table. So who knows how long it'll last, but we'll enjoy it while we have it.
John, tell me about your work and life, if you don't mind, over there.
Yeah, not at all, Lloyd. Lloyd, since I've come over, my first kind of life, my sort of job after college was with Guinness, actually. I worked with Guinness for a number of years over here on the Guinness and the Johnny Walker brands. And from there, I moved on, Lloyd. I was actually with Red Bull for a long time. Great company, fun company, do a lot of fun stuff. And for the past few years, Lloyd, I've been working with a company where we do a lot of the marketing and branding for Coke and for Pepsi. So again, get to do a lot of fun stuff with it, and very lucky to have it, Lloyd, and enjoy the role. And I work with good people, thank God.
It's a quite big companies you're working for there, John. Is it all work and no play?
Lloyd, it is. In America, I think a lot of the lads that you talk to too, there is a big focus on work over here. And, you know, finding that balance between personal time and work time is an ongoing struggle, which I think a lot of people over here would say that. I look at Europe and I look at Ireland, and I think there is a lot better work-life type of balance. But, you know, it is what you make it, Lloyd. You know what I mean? It's what's important to you in work and outside of work. So you have to kind of make it work for yourself, your situation and your family as best you can.
Okay, and speaking of your family, you have a busy family there. You have three boys.
I do indeed. I have three firecrackers. John is my oldest lad. It's actually Rory's birthday today.
Oh, happy 13th. Birthday, Rory. Good man.
Thanks a million. And our youngest lad is Charlie. So, yeah, three good lads. Two younger ones are football players. The middle lad is into his running at the moment. So they're active, Lloyd. That's the main thing. Once they're interested in something and staying active, that's the most important thing for us right now. My wife's name is Adele. And Adele kind of went the opposite way to me. She was born in Derry and moved over to the States when she was very young, whereas I was born in New York and moved to Ireland when I was very young. So we met here in D.C., just outside D.C. here. And we had a good day out back in 2003 in Derry. A good crew from Clara came up to Derry that day.
Right, John. So we're talking about Christmas, obviously. Now, how does Christmas compare in America to the Irish Christmas?
It's very similar, Lloyd. And actually, someone just asked me that at work yesterday. How does it compare in Ireland? It's very similar, Lloyd. I wouldn't say it's as much fun or it's as much crack over here around the Christmas time as it is back home. because a lot of people are back to work the day after Christmas. So, you know, you have a couple of days before Christmas, you have Christmas days, and you're back to reality very quickly. Whereas I personally love that week at home in Ireland between, you know, Christmas Eve and New Year's Day or whatever. You know, there's a great feeling about the place. People are out and about. People are in good moods and good humor. So this year is obviously very different, but, you know, similar in terms of Christmas Day. But that week between Christmas Eve and New Year's Day can't be beaten.
Do you think we drag it out a bit over here, John? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. Not long enough. I wish they'd do it a bit more over here, Lloyd, to be honest with you.
John, I believe your mother was supposed to be over there at Christmas time, obviously, with COVID and the whole 2020 business. That must be a bit of a downer.
It was, Lloyd, and it is. She was supposed to arrive over last month. And obviously, with Kate being in New York, she was going to go up to Kate for a few weeks and then come down to me for Christmas and the New Year's for a few weeks. And Kate was going to come down as well. So she was disappointed, Lloyd, when she found out she couldn't make it over. But at the same time, there's a lot of people in the same boat at the moment. So, you know, we just have to kind of get on with it at the moment. And hopefully in the new year, we'll be able to get her over as soon as we can, because we love when she gets a chance to come over and spend time over here. And our lads, obviously, and Kate's girls want her over as much as possible as well. But, you know, hopefully in the new year, things start turning for the better and we can get her over.
Yeah, there's a lot of families in Clara in a similar situation with yourselves, with grandkids in America. Like, I was talking to Joey Mannion there just before I was talking to you, and he's in the same boat with Katrina and him. Their kids are there and the grandparents are back in Ireland. It must be something that's hard to get used to.
It is, Lloyd. And, you know, that's one of the things. It's a constant battle, Lloyd. You look at the year ahead and you say, all right, when will we get a chance to go home and, you know, visit my mother, visit family back home? And, you know, what's going on in the world at the moment just makes things that little bit harder. But as I say, you know, no one could have planned for this. No one knows what lies ahead. So I think all we can do, Lloyd, is make the best of it and, you know, be positive about what's going to come down the line in the future. And, you know, hopefully we can all get together sooner rather than later, you know. But as you said, there are a lot of people in the same boat over here. And there's a lot of people in Ireland who would love to be over here with their family that are here too. So it's kind of a balancing act at the moment, but hopefully we'll get through it. We were actually supposed to come home this summer, Lloyd. And again, with everything that happened with COVID, that kind of knocked that on the head. So myself and Kate were actually just talking the other evening. So we might try and get a lot of us to go home during the summer, or we might make an effort to get home next Christmas. Because as I said, you know, you can't beat that time at home for Christmas. And it's been a few years since myself and Kate were home together. So we might try that in the new year as well. But again, the most important thing for us right now is getting the mother coming this way first.
What are some of the things you miss about Clara at Christmas, apart from the long week at the end that we drag out? And
Lloyd, I miss, obviously, my mother is the main thing that I miss. That's obviously the first and foremost thing. But Lloyd, I've been lucky. I have a great group of friends at home. I've a loyal group of friends back home in Clara. You know, that's one of the things I miss in general most about home, and just a chance to get together with the lads and have a laugh and just go for a pint and just the simplicity of it all to get together. And, you know, as you know, it is with your group of buddies at home, Lloyd, you know what I mean? We'd have fun anywhere. So that's the big thing I miss. And, you know, for years, Lloyd, I missed the big dog. You know what I mean? Donald was always a staple of Christmas time when I went home from America for Christmas. And you always look forward to Donald. And Donald was someone who always loved Christmas time. And he was always very generous, as he was in general. But here are the main things, Lloyd. The mother, my family, you know what I mean? So similar to everyone else that's away from home, I'm sure.
John, we normally do a quick fire round on the podcast, so you've been chosen to do this one.
fire away, let's go.
So as quick as you like, John, no stalling. Are you ready?
Yep.
What actor would play you in a film?
Matthew McConaughey.
First thing you'd buy if you won the lotto?
A house in Ireland.
Favourite thing about Clara?
My friends and family.
Best concert you've attended?
You too.
Your favourite band or singer?
Phil Collins, Genesis.
Favourite Christmas song?
Oh, jeez, no idea, Lloyd.
Favourite Christmas movie?
Favourite Christmas movie, Elf.
Southampton winning the Premiership or your team winning the Greenfield League final?
Oh, jeez, I think we won the Greenfield year one year, so I'd happily take Southampton winning the league at the moment.
Obama or Trump?
Obama.
And the last question on the quickfire round with John Tierney. Why are Southampton FC nicknamed the Saints?
Ooh, That's a good one, Lloyd. And I don't know, to be honest with you.
No, this is something you learn before your match.
I hope you can follow that up with an answer.
Well, good job I've written it down. Well, they're actually a church football team in 1885, and that's where the Saints name came from. So no, you won't forget that in a hurry, will you?
Very good. I knew they were formed in 1885, but I didn't know the reason behind the Saints. Well, there you go, Lloyd. This is an informational call.
John, lastly, would you like to say hello to anybody back here?
I would, Lloyd. I'd like to say hello to everyone, actually, back home. You know, it's great. It's great to see Facebook and everything keeping up with people back home. It's nice to see everyone's pictures. And, you know, just to wish everyone a happy Christmas, Lloyd. And, you know, let's everyone try and be as positive as we can over the Christmas period. Keep the heads down and hopefully 2021 will be a better year for everyone, for sure.
John, I wish you well and have a great Christmas yourself, Adele, John, Rory and Charlie.
Absolutely. Lloyd, thanks a million, pal. And as I say, and I know a lot of people have recognised the podcast and everything you've been doing at the moment, but for us away from home, it's been absolutely excellent. And to be able to document some of the great characters around the town that you've been doing, Lloyd, I think in years to come will be even more appreciated than it is now.
On that note, John Tierney, thanks a million.
Lloyd, thanks a million. Happy Christmas.
Same to you. Take care, John. Thanks a lot.
Okay. See you, Lloyd.
Bye-bye. That's the great John Tierney, everybody. Right, we have to give away some prizes from our sponsor, Stodgeface, a brand new shop in Tullamore, opened last week, and they have a great shop in Athlone as well. So they've given us two treat boxes for Christmas Eve, and we'll try and get them out for you early on Christmas Eve. I know Nigel has promised me to do that, so let's run the prize generator. I have all the names added in, and let's see who's won the Stodgeface goodies. And the winner is Aisling Cornley. Well done, Aisling. Enjoy your goodies from Stodgeface. And don't forget, check out their brand new shop in Tullamore and their brilliant shop in Athlone. Sadly, that is the end of our last podcast of 2020.
Aww.
I hope you really enjoyed everything we've done since March. We've had, I don't know, a lot of characters on and from a lot of different professions and all walks of life. So we hope we give something to everybody out there. If you'd like to get involved in the podcast, be a sponsor or indeed be a guest, you can contact me through the Littletown Media Facebook page or littletownmed@gmail.com. I'd be delighted if you did, even if you want to just play a request for somebody. We'll be back, hopefully, the second or third week in January. I have some brilliant guests lined up for next year already, so I can't wait to come back and bring all of that to you. I'm going to finish up the podcast with a little poem, actually, that I seen on Facebook during the week, and it was from Andrew Dignam. Andrew wrote this poem himself, so we're going to finish up with that. And then after that, then, I'm going to play a very special song, one of my favourite Christmas songs. It's from Noreen Rabbit. And it's called Oh Holy Night. What a voice and what a song. You're going to absolutely love this. But first of all, we're going to get Andrew Dignam to recite his own poem. It's called Truly Viral. It's a great poem. Look, have a great Christmas, everybody. And stay safe. Be happy. Try and be positive and look after one another. Give somebody a phone call at Christmas Day and surprise them. That's it for me. Over to you, Andrew Dignam.
Truly Viral. Super spreading to the heart within. Urgently seeking a new host, craving touch and warmth of skin, closing in to those we need most. It spreads like wildfire, knows no bounds, overwhelms, smothers, envelops and surrounds. With eyes open, we cannot ignore its powerful presence so close, so near, touching family, friends and more. The transmission rate is far from clear. But worry not, embrace, welcome it in. Grasp it tightly, the gift from above. Hold and never ever let it go again. This pandemic that needs no remedy is love.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin.
Here at Stodgeface, we take our baking seriously. And we're not talking about the panny de banana bread type baking. We're talking American style, original recipe, hard to come by, donut frying, cupcake styling baking. And we have done our research. Try it for yourself, we insist. Open weekdays from 10 a.m. and weekends from 12 p.m. We only close when the shelves have been emptied. We are currently located in Irish Town Athlone, and our new Tullamore based venture is coming soon. So watch this space. We are people friendly, dog friendly and COVID friendly. We are Stodgeface.
You just listened to What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Check out all our social channels for info on new episodes. Oh, and thanks for listening. On the Town.